This podcast and our many other ministries are only possible because of your generosity. You can give and support Grace by going to gracelutheran1.org/give or by clicking on the link in the show description. Thank you for your support. So during the church year, we have different seasons, different times where we're called to consider different attitudes and positions of our faith, to consider the different natures of Christ. And today we are in the season of Advent. And to Advent simply means to wait. Yes, of course, wait for Christmas and the birth of Christ, but waiting is something that we do often in our culture. In fact, scientists once estimate that the average person spends 3 years of their life waiting. Waiting in lines at the grocery store, waiting in traffic. Waiting not for the thing that they are experiencing, but waiting for the thing that is to come. And so the question during the Advent season is, how do we wait well? How do we wait with faith? Well, the truth of the matter is, perhaps today more than ever, we are terrible at waiting. Because technology has allowed us to speed everything up. Where it used to take months to travel across the country, a person can now do so in a matter of hours. Where it used to take weeks for a letter to reach another person, now we can instantly connect with people through technology, through video chats, through phone, through text messages. And because things happen so quickly, when they don't happen quickly, we get frustrated. We get upset because we are not used to it. I grew up around in Chicago. And so I got very used to traveling around Chicago and even into Chicago and having to wait in traffic. A couple years during seminary, I lived in the suburbs and commuted into the city to go to school. And my old joke was when someone asked me how long it would take me to get from my home to school, I would say anywhere between a half an hour to an hour and a half. Depending on what traffic was doing that day, I had to allow myself as much as an hour and a half to get to where I needed to go each and every day. So you can imagine my surprise and relief when I moved to a more rural area. But this is an area that my kids have grown up in. It's the only area my kids can know. And so I laugh at their version of what it means to be in traffic. You see, if we are traveling home from church or from school and we hit a red light and there are three or four cars in front of us, they will often groan and say, "Ugh, I hate traffic." See, traffic to them is waiting at one stoplight because that's all they've ever known. That's all they've ever experienced. They're able to get from place to place a lot quicker than I have, and so their ability and their patience to wait is limited. You see, waiting is something that we're not very good at, but it's also something that we don't like very much because often waiting is filled with fear and anxiety. All of us have experienced hurts in the past, and those hurts make us a little guarded and jaded. And so when we think about the future, what might be coming next, we are often filled with a sense of worry and fear. Because our past has not always been good, we wonder if the future will be good as well. And so the question again becomes, what does it mean not to wait in fear? What does it mean not to wait idly, but what does it mean to wait with a sense of hope? Our message today in the book of Isaiah comes to God's people during a season of their life that has been filled with fear and pain. In the beginning of the book of Isaiah, a prophet comes to them to warn them to turn away from their evil and sinful ways, turn back to God so that they might continue to experience his abundance and his blessings. But the people, the Israelites, God's people, continue to go their own way. They continue to live according to their own rules, their own commands, and by doing so, they open themselves up to foreign countries and foreign armies, coming and overturning them, taking them over. You see, because they turned away from God, they no longer experienced the blessing and the protection of God. And so what happened in these situations where foreign armies would come in and take over a country or a territory is they would often put people in what is known as exile. They wouldn't simply take over and rule the people that were there. They would send them off to all sorts of different parts of the world, believing that by splitting them up into different smaller groups, it would make them difficult for them to rebel and rise up and overthrow their oppressors. And this is what has happened so far in the book of Isaiah, yet the prophet Isaiah comes back to them and offers them words of hope. Words not of fear, but of hope that God once again will restore them. God once again will bless them. The prophet Isaiah says things to them like, "The blind shall see and the lame shall walk." He says that they will obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. He then says, "Be strong and do not fear." You see, he offers them hope in their waiting, saying that they can be hopeful about their future even though their past has been difficult, that they can be strong and not be filled with fear while they wait for the next thing to come. Would you like to be strong and not filled with fear? Would you like to live and wait for what happens next, not with a sense of trepidation, but with a sense of hope? That's what the prophet Isaiah says and offers today. So, of course, the question is, how? How do we wait well? How do we wait not in fear, but with a sense of hope? And there are two things that we can do. We can be present and we can trust. We can be present and we can trust. You see, the first thing, being present, is important, and it's something that Jesus talks about frequently in the Gospels. Jesus, in Matthew chapter 6, talks about living in the present moment, living in the present day, because that is where God reveals himself. That God reveals himself in the present day. That God is, yes, in the future, but God is also with us in the present, and that's how he reveals himself to us. So over the years, I've grown accustomed to driving around different places with my children. And when they were small and babies, they just allowed themselves to be driven anywhere, and they didn't have any comment or thought about it. But my two older boys have now grown to the point where they are very aware of what's happening around them. They've learned a lot about stoplights and stop signs. They've learned that you pull over when there are a police officer or a firefighter driving behind you. And they've also learned what it means to drive in difficult conditions. And just recently, we've been driving a lot in some strange weather. First, earlier this week, we were driving in what was probably our first snowstorm here in northern Illinois. And I remember driving with them, and we were going, and the snow was blowing towards us, and I was being careful and driving slow, and they were concerned. They were concerned because they were unable to see far ahead of them. They could not see what was down the road, that the landmarks that usually were in the distance that they saw easily, they couldn't see. And so they got concerned and they asked me, "Dad, how can you drive when you can't see what's ahead? How can you drive when you cannot see off into the distance?" And I told them that you don't need to see what's further ahead. You only need to see what's right in front of you. That the road does not simply end, but if you continue to look at the road ahead of you, you will be able to drive where you need to go. Just recently, we were driving again through fog. We were driving through fog, and once again, it was difficult for us to see where we were going. And my younger son asked me again, "Dad, how do you know where you are going?" And my older son reminded the lesson that I taught them, that you don't need to see further ahead, you only need to see the road right in front of you. I share that story with you because it reminds me of how Jesus wants us to live. that there are certain days where our future is like the weather, like a sunny day where it's bright and clear and it's easy to distinguish and see. But there are other days and times and situations where the weather is difficult, the conditions are hazardous, and the future, what we can see, seems very dark and murky. But it's in those times that we must not focus what's far ahead, but we must focus on what's right in front of us. You see, God always gives us the resources and the tools to live for today. Our fears lie in anticipation. Our fears lie in the future. But the present moment is filled with peace because God is in the present moment. You see, when I was driving my car, I had trust that even though I cannot see it, there is a road ahead. And even though you cannot see it either, God has created a road ahead for you. So be present. Focus on the present and trust the future to God. I remember when I was a chaplain in a hospital, and I remember that I would visit all sorts of different people in all sorts of different situations and walks in life. But I'll never forget this woman named Mary, coincidentally enough. Mary was advanced in age, and she had all sorts of different ailments and illnesses. Mary was reaching the end of her life, and she knew it. And so I expected when I went to visit with her that she would be filled with a sense of fear and anguish. But instead, she was filled with a sense of hope. She was filled with a sense of hope because all she could talk to me about was Jesus. All she could talk to me about was how excited she was to meet and to go to Jesus in heaven. You see, Mary had trust not in what she could see, but what she could not see. The Apostle Paul says something similar where he says that we hope not in what is seen, but in the unseen. You see, God works in the unseen world, and the unseen world is actually more real and more permanent than the seen world. See, all the material things that we spend so much time worrying about, fiddling with, trying to get right and perfect, especially this time of year, all those things will be gone someday. All those things will disappear. But the immaterial world, the spiritual world, our souls, that is what remains forever. You see, hope is something that we have not in what is, but in is what will be. You see, the Apostle Paul also says that we do not grieve as those who have no hope. But we have hope because we realize that God keeps his promises. That God does work in the seen world, but God more profoundly works in the unseen world. And so as you wait for whatever it is to come, as you find moments in your life where you are filled with fear and worry about what will be, I encourage you to develop two spiritual habits, two spiritual disciplines. The first is living for today, living as best and as faithfully as you can today in the present moment. And the second is to trust that God always keeps his promises, that our waiting will not be in vain, that God sends to us a Savior who is born, a Savior who changes all things and all people in this life and the next. Let us pray. Holy and loving God, we give you thanks for this reminder of what it means to live with hope, that hope is not in what is, but what will be. Help us wait well in faith, focusing on what is today and trusting you with tomorrow. In Jesus' holy name we pray, amen. Thank you for joining us today. We encourage you to like our Facebook page, subscribe to our YouTube page, and follow us on Instagram at GLC_Richmond. If you need anything at all, you can reach out to us by email. Our email is office@gracelutheran1.org. May God continue to bless you.